For many of us, still God is assuring us of the fact that as we let him know our needs, he will in his perfect way and in his perfect time meet our needs. Note verse 6, he says he will exalt you, raise you in due time, in his time. My brothers and sisters, how wonderful it is to know that our Lord wants us to call on him in time of need. Our Lord, who is our high priest, as the Bible says, he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities.
It is our hope that you were blessed by Pastor's message. Join us at our regular service weekly at 808 Anacoco Street, Leesville, Louisiana, or phone us at 337-238-4954. May God bless and keep you until we meet again.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio. At 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blunt Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Hallelujah. Well, if you'll get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, once again, we say thank you for the privilege of hearing your word. Speak to our hearts. Minister to us through your spirit as only you are able to do. And gracious God, our Father, we thank you for the principles that we shall practice, giving you the praise as you give to us the prophet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I am challenged from the word of God. I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I simply want to lift out verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. This is known as the love chapter. And verse 7, as it is speaking about love, says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. May the Lord bless those who hear and heed his word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, love chooses to see the best. Love chooses to see the best. This love that Paul speaks of, writes to the church at Corinth, is a love far greater than many of us can ever experience in the natural outside of the spirit. This love has no limits. This love never says you've gone too far. This love doesn't say I can't love you now. All things mean everything is included. Christian love leaves no doubt in the mind of another that you will continue to love steadfastly. Do those close to you know that they can fail, miss the mark, fall short, and at the end of the day you still love them? If that can happen in that arena of those to whom you love with that kind of love, then that bespeaks and demonstrates in God's realm a whole wider realm of the impossibility or the impossibilities of God's love ever failing you, because God himself, the record is love. I want to say some things about this, because when we look at this and we see this and see how love chooses to see the best, how many times have you heard somebody referred to as being in love? They're so in love, they're blind. That person could do no wrong in their sight. That they could know they're wrong, see they're wrong, that they've fallen short, missed the mark, that they're not all that they pretend or claim or one thinks them to be, but in spite of all of that, the love is as strong and as steady and as real as if that person were perfect. So blessed are we when we find people in the kingdom of God who know how to love like God loves. I want to just back up for those who've never heard this chapter, those of you viewing by television, those of you hearing by radio. Maybe you don't understand the fullness of this, but let me just share with you what the word says till we get to this verse. It says, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity here, which is translated as love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now he just makes clear, though you may have gifts to speak in other tongues, heavenly tongues, supernatural tongues, and yet if you don't have love, he says, all you're making is a bunch of noise. And my brothers and sisters, it comes to the point in time, especially as it relates to us demonstrating the love of God, that God wants us to show love more than we talk love. Listen to verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and thought, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Now he goes on and he deals continually with gifts and abilities and supernatural occurrences that happen in believers' lives. But notice he makes clear here, though God gifts him with all of these things, if he doesn't have love himself, he says, I am nothing. Not the gifts God has given to me are not anything, because they're going to affect those things and those persons whom God has given me the gift to affect. But in the end, and at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, I myself, he says, am nothing. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profited me nothing. What does it profit? You know, if I give a whole lot of money to this cause and that cause, and what if it profit, what does it profit me if I go out and say, well, you know what, I'm going to give my life for the cause of Christ and my body to be burned, become a martyr for the cause of Christ, but the truth of the matter is I really have no love in my heart, then the end result is it doesn't profit me nothing in the end, because without true love, godly love, all of the things that I've done are nothing and vanity to God. You see, God's not concerned about those of us who are doing church work, and we've been doing church work for a long time, and it looks like we're going to be rewarded because we've been doing this long, if there is no real love to back up what we're doing. See, God is not going to honor you and reward you. Those things are going to be burned up in the fire. See, God is more concerned about things that folk can't always see, things that are not measured by man's standard. God is looking for us to elevate our standards to his standards, to do those things worthy in his sight, to honor him and to love our brothers and our sisters and mankind as a whole. For John 3:16 said it best when he says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I want you to see this again. It goes on to say, verse 4, love, charity, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity or love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Listen to that, verse 5. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. How many times, let's take it from the end and back it on up. How many times have many of us rejoiced in some evil report about a brother or sister? Love only rejoices in the truth, not in things that are said, evil reports and things that tear down one another. Look at this word, it's so important. It thinketh no evil. You know, when you've got people who's always thinking evil, it's because there is a spirit in them promoting evil. See, when you always want to put down on somebody, talk down about somebody, questioning somebody, maybe it's because of you and your own activities, your own actions, your own ambitions. Maybe it's because that's what you are. That's why it takes one. A good man knows another good man. A good woman knows another good woman. A good person knows a good person. A good carpenter knows another good carpenter. A good whatever knows another good one. But when there is one who is not, and he tries to present himself as one, what he really does, and we do this in everything we do, we sign to ourselves and our situations what we are. Somebody that's got a right thinking, even in a wrong situation, will think the right thing to help it come to a better conclusion. So they don't think evil. They don't do like the world and those who are not with God do. They're not easily provoked. You know, people who don't have the love of God, man, have a short stem. I mean, you can set them off so quickly. Don't take much. Just look at them. You can be looking past them. This is the third time she done looked at me like that. Let her look at me one more time. I'm going to go ask her what her problem is. Might not even been looking at you. But when you know that thing's not right underneath the skin, many times you think other folk know it also. Short stem. Listen at this. I want you to see something else. Seeketh not her own. Not selfish. Caught up on oneself. It's got to be all about me, myself, and I. Real love is not all about those things. Real love wants to make sure that it's well with everybody. Now, they've got a right and a responsibility to take care of themselves and their own, but it's not limited just to themselves and their own. Does not seek. Look, I got mine. You get yours the same way. If I can get up early in the morning and go do it like that, you can get up and do the same thing. I remember when I was coming up, and at what they used to call the rec center. In these little small towns, hamlets, and villages, it was the recreational center where people would go. And when there were commodities to give out and so forth and so on, people then knew how not to just seek their own. But I remember when I was just a lad of a boy, I used to live in Grove State with my grandmother, and if somebody down the lane had discovered that they were bringing commodities, they, after they got theirs and had theirs and got home, they didn't do like some of us say, well, I guess they'll find out. They got on the phone and said, Mary, they handing out cheese and butter and milk, and you got yours? Mary like, no, baby, but I'm going to get mine. Let me call Eva and see if Eva got hers. And it would go down the list, making sure that everybody wasn't just seeking their own. We live in a world where when we get ours, we want to shut the door and lock everybody else out. But love, real love, doesn't operate like that. And so understanding that and coming down to verse 7, look at what it says. It says, love, in essence here, because this is all it's speaking about, beareth all things. Now listen, my brothers and sisters, when it talks about bearing all things, everything that God gives to you to bear, and I want you to hear this well, may not necessarily be your own. Beareth all things, meaning those things beyond you and yours. Meaning that whatever has been assigned to you, you don't question why it's been assigned to you. Well, Lord, why didn't you give it to brother so-and-so? He's got bigger shoulders than me. Why didn't you give it to sister so-and-so? She don't have that much on her plate. But beareth all things. Now, helping you to understand this more fully, just think about this talking about Jesus, who bore all things. As a matter of fact, every sin that was born on his shoulders was everyone else's sins but his own. And listen at this, there is not one sin that was sinned that he did not bear on his shoulder. Now, whether or not you take responsibility for it and you claim that you have confessed, or you confess your sins and claim your righteousness that he gives to you because he has paid for your sin and your penalty and get what's rightfully yours as a repentant child of God, that's up to you. But he's already borne it. He's already paid for it. He's already done what you could not do for yourself. All things, not just some things, not just your lighter sins, but your deep, dark sins, your secret sins, all of those things, he has borne all of those. But listen at this, because I need you to understand. There is nothing that you deal with that Jesus has not seen, that Jesus has not prepared to handle on your behalf. Beareth all things. There are some people who are with us who will bear some things, and we'll bear it for so long. But when it gets to the point where we're too heavy for too long, we throw them off our shoulders, we get them off our back, we're like, look, now I've gone as far as I can go with you. That might be a half a step, two or three steps, but they ain't going but only so far with you. And yet they say to you, that's all I can go. Jesus does not, will not, has not ever done any of us like that. And so the glory of this word is that true love, God's love, beareth all things, which means you don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be scared or afraid that he'll reject you. Whatever your issues are, he's already borne it. And listen at this, he will make sure that he handles what you cannot. For the word says, beareth. That is now and even in the future, what you cannot deal. The word is clear. Cast your cares upon him. Why? He careth for you. But then it moves on and it says, not only does he beareth all things, but the word is clear when it says, believeth all things. Now, here's where it starts getting tricky, because when you love God and love the way God wants you to love, or love the God kind of way, as it's been termed, it's not that you are crazy. It's not that you are foolish. It's not that you are blind. It's that you choose to believe the best. Believeth all things. Don't stop at the bad reports. Believeth all things is not only what has happened experientially, which means that it actually happened in reality, but believeth all things means that you're believing that even though it's messed up now, it's going to work out for the good. Believeth all things mean that this is just a period. It's not the end of the story. There is another chapter or chapters to go. And so as a result of that, I believe that this story is going to end up on a positive note, that this brother or sister's life is going to be turned around. In other words, believeth all things believes even in those many times when they do not believe in themselves. If you've ever had somebody to believe in you when you didn't believe in yourself, they saw something in you when you couldn't see it in yourself, they had an expectation of you that you didn't even have in yourself, it awakened you to the reality that there is something far greater in you than perhaps you've tapped into yourself. And because they believeth all things, and because they understand that maybe you have not come to the awakening yet, yes, that greater is he that is in you, oh, yes, than he that is in the world. There are dreams and there are visions and there are plans and goals and desires in you that maybe they see and believe in, oh, yes, that you have not yet tapped into. They believe beyond what they see. They believe beyond what they hear. They believe beyond what they know. They believe the best. Notice the next word says, hopeth all things. Because when it gets to the point of believing, and they believed all they can believe, all they can do beyond that point is now attach hope with it and put it in another realm. Hopeth all things. Abram believed God. Yeah. Believed God so much so that it literally transformed his life. He hoped against hope. When there was nothing logically, when there was nothing naturally, when there was nothing humanly possible to believe in, what he chose to believe in was hope. Yeah. My brothers and sisters, sorry is the person who is void of hope. Yeah. No wonder Jesse Jackson said, keep hope alive. Yeah. Because we've seen on the other day what keeping hope alive can produce. Yeah. Some folks said we'd never see an African-American president in our lifetime. Many of us didn't vote for this African-American president thinking we would lose our vote, misuse our vote, not have a vote worth counting, because there was no way that he could win. But oh, when hope is kept alive, great and wonderful things can happen. Oh, my brothers and sisters, and I want to throw out parenthetically, lest there's someone watching me think this is a black issue, I need you to know he couldn't have made president with all black votes. There were some white brothers and sisters who kept hope alive and believed in character more than they believed in color. And there are some things, my brothers and sisters, that many of our forefathers lived to see but were called home and never got a chance to see, and yet we kept hope alive. As somebody here who may have had an experience, a traumatic experience in life, threw them for a loop, now find themselves on the wrong side of the tracks, maybe on the wrong side of an issue, maybe they're locked behind prison bars, maybe life seems to have written them a termination notice. Whatever the case is, may I suggest to you, when there's nothing humanly possible to hold on to, when there's nothing naturally possible to hold on, when there's nothing that makes sense in the natural, thanks be to God that we're not just made of dust, but we're made of divinity. We're made of spirit as well. And when the flesh can't see it, thanks be to God, the spirit can see beyond what the limit of our eyes can see. And God can bring to pass what we hope for in him. Don't give up on your goals. Don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on what God has promised you. Don't give up on what seems to be hopeless in the natural, because God still has the last word. Yeah, you may have lost some things. Maybe you may have lost some limbs. Maybe you may have lost some loved ones. Maybe you may have lost this or that or whatever may have been significant in your life. But if you yourself are not lost, if you can stay connected to the hope that is beyond the natural realm, the word of God, and believe in that hope that God, as he has promised, will bring to pass his word. He is not a man
that he should lie. That it may not happen today, it may not happen tomorrow, but don't give up because it didn't happen in your timing. I don't know a whole lot of people, men or women, period, who God would make a promise to at 75. At 75. That if you do what I say do, I'll bless you. I know you don't have any children up to this point. At 75, the natural organs start shutting down, and many have already shut down. But his wife was barren as a young woman. And at 75, God says, listen, man, I'm going to make your posterity and your prosperity great. I'm going to make your name great. You're going to have more children than the stars in the sky, the sand on the seashore. And Abraham is like, all righty then. Ooh, you do know Sarah is barren, don't you? And even if she weren't, she's beyond the change now, but I believe. Now, at 75, because Sarah heard it and she was in the tent, Sarah say, we gonna have what? God had to put her in check. What you laughing at, Sarah? Well, I just think Sarah was laughing because she was expecting about what was getting ready to happen with her and Abraham. The baby was just added pleasure. That's just my own opinion, but you know. And so, 76, nothing happened. 77th year, 78th year, 85th year, 89th year, 91st. At some point, somebody should say it like, well, at one point they did before, 14 years after the promise was made, Sarah said, well, you know what? Maybe God meant that we were going to have a child, but not necessarily me barren. And maybe he meant in surrogate terms. Maybe someone else. Let me help God out. And so she took one of her handmaid servants by the name of Hagar and said, now, Hagar, you're on a mission. I need you to take my place for the purpose of bearing a child. That's it. You're still my handmaid. You're still who you are. I'm just giving you the privilege of bearing my husband's child for me. Well, you know what happened. You know the story. After the baby was born, Ishmael, the firstborn of Abram, but he was not the firstborn of promise. Well, Hagar started feeling pretty good about herself. And Sarah had to flex her muscle and say, well, now, because she noticed how, you know, Abram was beaming with pride in the boy. But he also noticed how Hagar started changing. She's like, well, I'm the one who bore the child. And she started getting a little womanish. So, you know, Sarah was like, don't forget who you are, boo. I'm still the woman of this house. And you know, Hagar probably looked at her with that look that some women do. And she might have twisted the neck and rolled the head and whatever, put her hands on her hip. And well, we'll see what Abe got to say about this. Sarah marched on in the room. I'm trying to help somebody here. Abraham, we got a problem. What's the problem, baby? That woman and her child got to get up out of my house. And I don't want you to wait till next year, next month. You tell them get their bags and let the doorknob split them, hit them where the doorknob, well, you know the story. Now, Abraham wasn't no fool because he know the promise God made. And he said, Sarah and you. So he had to go tell Hagar, baby, you got to go on.